Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on the air today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information is just mentioned on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants are standing by. Another number you can jot down, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. As I start the broadcast today, I think of Oz Guinness, who said, "We live in an ABC moment. Anything but Christian." This is a moment in human history in which Christianity is being routinely ridiculed. A common refrain in the 21st century is that religion is the root cause of all the great atrocities of human history. But is that true? Well, actually, it turns out to be patently false. More people died as a result of secularist ideologies in the last century than have died in all religiously motivated conflicts of Western history. One need only think about the Nazi philosophy that Jews were subhuman, Aryans supermen, which led to the extermination of millions and millions of people. Far from being religiously motivated, Hitler's final solution to the Jewish problem was grounded in the naturalistic philosophy of survival of the fittest. In fact, Hitler overtly distanced himself from the historic Christian faith. He proclaimed Christianity is a rebellion against natural law. It's a protest against nature. But you don't have to just think about the Holocaust. We have short memories. The inherently atheistic utopian philosophy of communism eclipsed what Hitler did. Karl Marx saw in philosophical naturalism the scientific, the sociological support for an economic experiment that led to the mass murder of multiplied millions around the globe. Or think Chairman Mao. His dictatorship in China accounted for the deaths of an estimated 65 million people, a number so large, it is almost impossible for us to wrap our minds around it. Or you can think about the USSR under Stalin, which saw between 20 and 30 million murdered as the direct result of agrarian collectivization and the Great Purge, what was called the Great Leap Forward. Or add to that 2 million Cambodians, nearly a quarter of that nation's population massacred by Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge regime, and the death toll resulting from the secular ideology of communism becomes a horror, quite frankly, that is beyond our comprehension. But there's a third ideology that you can relate directly to modern secularism, and it has led to even more ghastly consequences. And though not formally organized under a deranged dictator, this Holocaust continues to claim the lives of untold millions around the globe. Almost 3,000 helpless victims, which happens to be nearly the total casualties of 9/11, they die every day in the U.S. alone. And the secularist ideology to which I'm referring is, of course, abortionism. The modern bioethical Holocaust that has eclipsed the carnage of Nazism and communism combined. And even apart from the ongoing genocide of the unborn, over 100 million people died at the hands of secularist regimes during the 20th century. You couple that with the recognition of the innumerable humanitarian aid efforts motivated by religious commitments, and those statistics ought to motivate secularists towards some humble introspection rather than the haughty inculpation of religion. This whole notion that religion is the root of all evil is flatly false, and we ought to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up is Ron, listening in Springfield, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm going to try and make this question a little better than I started. In light of a memorialist priesthood that we see in the majority of Protestant America, how do you feel about people under a priesthood of symbolism when you tell us to look at Christ's presence as true? If we're being handed this thing from the priests in unity, and we look at it as two different things, how am I, as a Christian, supposed to resolve such a thing?
Well, I think ultimately you resolve it biblically. The power of God in the elements are such that the body and blood of Christ are changed, not physically, but mystically. The bread and the wine remain, yet we mystically partake of the real presence of Christ. And I think we have to look back at what happened during the Last Supper, where Jesus is with his disciples and he takes the bread and he says, "Take, eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup and he gave thanks, by the way, from the Greek Eucharist. And he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." On the basis of Christ's teaching for more than 1,000 years of church history, when the body of Christ was still undivided, believers humbly took the Lord at his word. "This is my body, this is my blood." How that could be, no one could tell. The church simply confessed the real presence of Jesus Christ to be a great and a glorious mystery. And I should say that even after the Great Schism, which was back around 1054, this was a period when the Eastern and Western churches were divided at the table. The Eucharist was still believed to be the real presence of Christ. And by the way, that was the conviction of Martin Luther. He was at the center of a great second schism, one that fissured the western half of the church, but he nonetheless remained unified with the ancient church respecting the matter of the real presence. So I would say that what we should do is recognize that something mystically is taking place in communion. And we partake of the mystical supper. And when we do, we recognize that we live in Christ and Christ lives in us. When we do not properly partake of communion, The words of our Lord seem very emphatic to me, where in John chapter 6 he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." The life comes from Christ and goes out through the branches. And communion, I think, has to be recognized as more than merely a remembrance or a memorial, although it is most certainly that. We must recognize that as we partake of communion, something mysterious is taking place. And that is why the Apostle Paul can say emphatically, don't do it in an unworthy manner, because if you do, there are consequences. So I think just like when Einstein came up with E equals mc squared, it opened up a whole world, a world that before could not have been imagined. In the same way, when Jesus was on Mount Tabor and he went through transfiguration, the apostles witnessed uncreated energy, for only God is uncreated. It's a mystery, but the mystery is nonetheless real. And so I think we have in many ways within the church devalued the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's my opinion on the matter. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Annie. She's listening in Kansas on Bud Radio. Hi, Annie.
Hi. Hey, I'm having a struggle, a moral dilemma with the election, meaning that there's one thing about Trump that I really strongly believe in, which is your segue into the program, his pro-life stance. But that's all about him. So in order to vote my conscience, I'm going to have to write in a candidate that's pro-life, but also has character that I respect. So is that okay, or am I essentially not voting for anyone and not performing my obligation as a citizen? And is give to Caesar what is Caesar applicable in this situation?
Well, I think we're called by Jesus to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We have to look at the full panoply of converging factors. We are going to live with the Supreme Court for the next quarter century at least, and we have to determine who we want to appoint judges to the Supreme Court. We have to have some kind of a sense, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, about the horror of the unborn, the horror of those unborn or pre-born children. And there are many that are saying they have no constitutional rights whatsoever. No constitutional rights. So you can have a partial birth abortion, which is a short step from infanticide, because the only difference between the partial birth abortion and infanticide is a matter of location and a very small amount of time. We're also talking about migration without assimilation, which I have called the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. We're talking about economics. So we have to factor all these things in together and then make a wise choice. Now, is it wise to write in a candidate that you think is more morally sophisticated than the two candidates that we have? I don't know. I would think not, because that candidate has no chance whatsoever of winning. And I can say that categorically. No chance, zero. It isn't going to happen. So when you do that, in essence, it is like wasting a vote. In terms of moral superiority, I'm a flawed individual. You're a flawed individual. The two candidates are flawed individuals. In fact, we live in a culture in which those who are running for office reflect it. So we have to look, I think, past the person and even past the party. We have to look at the platform. What is it that is significant in the platform for not only the rest of our lives, but for our children and our children's children? So again, I think we have to be very wise as we make our decisions. And you think about morality in a candidate, and again, I'm not choosing sides here. If Trump had said it, I would be just as outraged. But when Clinton talks about the preborn child having no constitutional rights, and in essence champions partial birth abortion, I cannot think of too many things more horrifying, particularly in an age of scientific enlightenment where we know better. This is no longer just a metaphysical contention. This is plain old experimental evidence. We know that this is a child. I'll be right back.
Although the majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling this issue is a matter of historical evidence. And beyond question, the existence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Don't miss the article, Mythicism and the Public Jesus of History, by Craig Evans, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank will be back after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, torture, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Find out in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Becky, listening in Burlington, Kentucky on the web. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Hank. I have a two-part question. My question is, how can I get, or what do I say to give a Christian or a Christ-like response to friends and family that that are Christians, you know, because I can't judge anyone's heart, and they confess to be Christians, but yet they're going to vote a Democratic ticket. And when it comes to abortion and we discuss it, it's like that, you know, they say, people have free will to do as they want to do. And then another response that I get is they have a comeback that says, you know, they believe in separation of church and state. And, you know, I want to do this Christ-like because I love them dearly. But I don't know if I'm missing something. You know, how can a Christian be for these things?
Well, remember that we live in an age where tolerance is the first and greatest commandment of the pro-abortion lobby, which is to say, in essence, it is memorialized in the refrain, you know, don't like an abortion? Well, don't have an abortion. Just don't impose your morality on me. And as I said on yesterday's broadcast, that kind of mantra sounds tolerant, but if you think about it for just a moment, you see its flaws. Imagine someone in the interest of tolerance saying, don't like rape? Well, don't rape anyone. Just don't impose your antiquated morals and ethics on me. I think we do well to remember that tolerance with respect to personal relationships certainly is virtue, but tolerance with respect to truth is a travesty. Now, look, when you are saying that a segment of our society, a very large segment of our society, does not have constitutional rights, I think it's a very serious matter. And it's a matter that we ought to be involved with. If we can participate through the ballot box, we ought to do that. If we can participate in other ways, we ought to do that. You know, if someone like a Hillary Clinton does not think that the government should step in, as she said in the debate the other night, step in to protect a preborn child, logically, she would not want to protect a child against infanticide. Because as I mentioned earlier on the broadcast, the only difference between partial birth abortion, late-term abortion, and infanticide is location. Because there's no question whatsoever that this is a human being. My wife was born prematurely. And I can tell you, she's a force of nature. The idea of killing children ought to be abhorrent in a civilized society. Unfortunately, it is not, and many Christians are taking a very weak position on it. I think we have fetus fatigue. It's as though we've heard about this subject so long that we no longer consider it all that important because we have bigger things to worry about, like gender fluidity and many other such things. So I think we need to stand as Christians, and after we've done everything, to stand.
Right, to stand for, you know, our beliefs. But, you know, that's one of the commandments, thou shalt not kill. So how can, you know, I just can't understand it. You know, it's our culture.
It's
that we are living in now. But what about the separation of church and state?
Well, I don't think that this in any way has to do even with a religious notion, as I said. There's someone that's hiding behind this as though this is purely a religious notion needs to understand that it is far more than that. This is a scientific truth. We live in an age of scientific enlightenment, and we know that abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being. I've often quoted Dr. Matthew Ross, who was a principal research associate at Harvard Medical School's Department of Medicine, who said it is scientifically correct to say that an individual human life begins at conception, when egg and sperm join to form the zygote, and this developing human always is a member of our species in all stages of life. So to accept the fact that after fertilization has taken place, a new human being has come into being is no longer a matter of taste or opinion. The human nature of the human being from conception to old age is not a metaphysical contention. It's plain experimental evidence. And I don't think someone can say, well, this is separation of church and state, and therefore we can't get involved. That's tantamount to saying that when people are being killed in the inner city, we shouldn't be involved in trying to do something about that because there's separation of church and state. Of course we should be involved. We should be involved as a leavening force in all of society. You know, separation of church and state essentially is saying that the state cannot develop a state institution of religion. It does not mean that we cannot be involved in the politics and the decisions of our day because we're Christians, that we are now relegated to the sidelines and can do nothing at all. That's ridiculous. Of course we can. Not only can we, but we must. If we do not, the culture will continue to devolve. Why is the culture devolving in the first place? It is because Christians are no longer salt and light. Pagans are exercising their job description, but Christians are not.
Amen. I agree with you. And I think we should do it with love and kindness, but I do think that we need to state our opinion.
Well, thank you for your call. Good discussion. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, John.
Yes, I'm here.
You're up to
you
bat.
You hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting back to that comment that the gal just mentioned about separation of church and state, the Constitution says that the state cannot infringe on the church, cannot dictate to the church what it can and cannot do. But it doesn't say that the church is supposed to infringe onto the government, making the government more, keeping it more biblically and Christ-like in those areas.
And your question?
Well, it really wasn't a question. It was more of a, because I was mainly calling in on a comment about how that the gal was talking about writing in votes and stuff, how that, like you said, it does take away from, the third party does take away from the main party. But for all Christians that are out here that are, not liking Trump, which I really don't like Trump too much anyway. I like him as a businessman, but he is brash and he's kind of a little bullyish. But for the platform of the Republican Party, how that is more biblically in line than what the Democrats are, because the Democrats are, everything that they do is anti-God. In fact, they tried to get God out of the thing, their convention several years ago, tried to vote him out because they don't want to have anything to do with God. And so, that's for me, as I'm voting on the platform of the Republicans due to the fact that they're more in line with the Bible.
Well, I think the important thing is to get beyond the person and the party and look at the platform, as you just mentioned. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jeff in Overland Park, Kansas. Jeff's listening on Butt Radio. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. I appreciate your ministry. It's been a great help to me.
Thank you.
My question, I'm a independent, I'm a social conservative, and not to beat this topic to death, but Donald Trump has been a person that's been a liberal, still is. He's been pro-choice all his life, and then he runs for president. Says he's pro-life all of a sudden, and we think he's going to nominate conservative judges. And because he has lied on so many things, what I think there's a danger. What makes us think that he's actually going to hold true to his word, because he hasn't on a whole lot of other things?
Well, you ask a good question. I do think, though, common sense would tell you that the pro-choice position is far more palatable to the masses in America than the pro-life position is. So if you're going to take a position for popularity's sake, you probably would take the pro-choice position as opposed to the pro-life position. So if he's lying, I don't see the motive for the lie. Also, I think you're probably well aware of the fact that he has given a whole list of potential candidates for not only the Supreme Court, but other court appointees in other venues throughout the land. So I don't think that he's lying about this, but again, you raise a good point. I mean, politicians say a whole lot to get elected and oftentimes don't follow through on what they say. But this is why I say that, I can't choose your candidate, but I do think that we have to look at the platforms carefully. We have to look at the vice presidential candidate. We have to look at the people that are surrounding the candidate. And having looked at all of those things, make a wise decision. But this is the kind of decision that you make prayerfully before the Lord, considering the factors, just as if you were going to invest in a ministry or in a country, a company, you would do due diligence. You would look at the facts and make the most reasonable decision. And I think that's what we have to do. But again, your point is well taken. I am coming up to a station break in just a few moments. After the break, I'm going to give you the quote of the day. Actually, it comes from an epigraph in Joe Dallas's book. It's titled Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. I can tell you this is one of Joe's best books, and that's saying a lot. You can go to the web at equip.org and you can see all of Joe's books. They're right there. You can order them on the web. The book, Speaking of Homosexuality, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Also, a reminder that when you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to send you any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. When you join our monthly support team, you become a part of a core foundational, support system for this ministry and everything we do around the world. So I encourage you to prayerfully consider becoming a monthly support team member. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with the quote of the day and with more answers to your questions. So please don't touch that dial.
While appealing on the surface, reincarnation and karma are riddled with inconsistencies. For example, the religions undergirding reincarnation and karma deny the existence of a personal God. Yet the karmic system of justice makes no sense if not executed by such a God. Denying the possibility of grace, karma and reincarnation ultimately become a burden no one can bear. Learn how to refute the Eastern doctrines of reincarnation and karma in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
Oh. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence, and beyond question, the evidence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org. The Protestant reformers held that in order to have an assured knowledge that the Bible is God's Word, there must be an internal testimony of the Holy Spirit in the believer's heart. This view has its attractions, but it also raises theological and philosophical questions. Be sure to read James N. Anderson's article, The Internal Testimony of the Holy Spirit: How Do You Know That the Bible is God's Word?, in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from George Eliot, who said, "No evil dooms us hopelessly except the evil we love and desire to continue in and make no effort to escape from." Again, the quote of the day from George Eliot. And you think about the issue of homosexuality, it is an issue that has broad ramifications for people in the culture. And if we love them, we tell them the truth. This is precisely what Jesus did. It was not a cosmic killjoy. He put parameters around people's lives so that their joy might be complete. By the way, Centers for Disease Control, CDC, recently reported a troubling rise in syphilis infections among men, particularly gay and bisexual men. And the trend data show that syphilis is increasing at an alarming rate. Men who have sex with men account for 82% of male cases, and infections from three sexually transmitted diseases, including chlamydia and gonorrhea, are now also at a record high. So ideas have consequences, behavior has consequences. I think the book, speaking of homosexuality, is fantastic because of the tone, if nothing else. But there's nobody on the planet that knows this subject like Joe Dallas. He writes with kindness and with clarity. The book available for those who support the ministry all this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Albert, Canadian listener, Vancouver, British Columbia, K-A-R-I. Hi, Albert.
Yes, I'm here, Hank.
Nice to talk to you.
Well, likewise. Nice to talk to you. And what I'm inquiring about is fasting, and I'm looking at my Bible in Matthew, and it talks about Jesus healing a boy with an unclean spirit. Now, at the end of that, he says, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." So what I'm after is, what are the details of fasting? Normally, when you talk about a fast, you talk about having no food for a period of time and just drinking water. And so that's what I wanted to know. Like, if I was going to apply something like that, you know, how long would I have to fast each day and for how many days?
Well, I don't think that there are absolute parameters around the practice of fasting. Of course, many churches include fasting in the normal course of the church life over the course of the year, but I think fasting in general is a very, very significant issue, because if you fast, what you are doing is you are, in essence, feasting on God instead of feasting on food, and you're demonstrating that your God is not your belly. And we've seen many examples. You mentioned one, but I think about the Ninevites who declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. So here you have a prostituted pagan city fasting in sackcloth and ashes, and when God saw what they did and how they had turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. I think of our history as a country. We have Lincoln saying in our history, "It behooves us to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, to pray for clemency and forgiveness." I don't remember what else he said. That's all I can remember. But that is what happened. Back on April 30th, 1863, the American people, in compliance, think about this, in compliance with the request of the Senate and the proclamation of President Lincoln, abstained from their ordinary secular pursuits and humbled themselves and devoted themselves to fasting and prayer for the restoration of a divided country. So the deeper we are in sin individually, or collectively as a nation, the more we ought to humble ourselves and partake of a very significant means of grace. And the idea is not to do this for show. It is not to do this as a tradition. It is not to do this in rote, but rather to do this in reality, whereby we are not doing it so people see us, but we're doing it because we are genuinely smitten in the heart, and we are bowing ourselves before God, recognizing that he can as yet stay his hand of judgment, whether on our individual lives or on our nation. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Gary, listening in New York, New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gary.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've been a Christian for most of my life, and I finally decided to stand up and surrender my life to Jesus back in May. Now, I listen to Christian radio all day long because I drive for a living. And I'm having a difficult, very difficult time on understanding and how to go about surrendering my life to Jesus. I pray about it. I'm reading the Bible, not all day, but I read it in the morning and I read it at night before I go to bed. I pray during the day and I'm asking for Jesus' help to help me. I just don't know the direction to go and how to go about it.
Well, I think you do. I think what you've described is fantastic. I mean, the first thing for all of us as human beings is to recognize that we're sinners, be willing to repent from our sin, which is a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the will. It is saying, I want to move in a different direction. I want to follow Jesus Christ and be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And I want Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I don't want to sit on that throne myself. I want Jesus Christ to live within me, not just have a changed life, but an exchanged life, the life of Christ within. And I think all of what you said in the prologue indicates that that is the kind of life that you want to participate in, and I think that's fantastic. Now, as a believer, you're never born in isolation. You're born into a community of faith, which means that when you're baptized, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, you're buried to your old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power, and now you live by an altogether different standard. You are a participant in communion with the body of Christ, and you partake of the means of grace provided within the context of the body of Christ, word and sacrament. You are worshiping God in union. You are proclaiming the word. You are praising God, and you're praying in community. And then you are experiencing this oneness with the body of Christ, as Paul points out very, very eloquently in Romans chapter 12, and being equipped to go out and impact the world. So in essence, what you've said, Gary, is you want to be a participant in the kingdom. You want to follow Jesus Christ? Well, partake of the means of grace. And you are doing that by praying, by reading the Bible. There are other means of grace. Again, these are things that we partake of in communion and community, and that is within the body of Christ taking communion. The church calendar has fasting days that are part of the church calendar for most churches, I guess at least. And so you want to partake of the means of grace so that you can grow in grace and knowledge and in unity with the body of Christ.
Okay, then why do I feel like I'm still a terrible sinner?
Well, because you are. Well, because you are. I mean, okay. Yeah, you are, and so am I. So, you know, think about what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, where he said, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, and I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Now, as I've said many times, it's not a statement that is meant to escape moral responsibility, but it's a statement that really underscores the powerful lure of sin. So Paul is boasting about Christ in the midst of his weakness. He is not being disingenuous and saying, I've got it all together. He doesn't. In fact, the closer we come to the effulgence of Christ's glory, the more we see our own unworthiness, our own sinfulness, our lack of righteousness. That is our condition. So we want to grow in grace and knowledge, but also recognize that we have not eradicated our sinful nature by becoming Christian.
Right. Because it seems like it's a real battle every day.
Well, it is. It is, of course. It's a battle. I wrote a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And in that book, what I'm pointing out is that if you put on the full armor of God every day, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you don't, you're a guaranteed casualty. So we have to partake again of the means of grace. And so what Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 is very, very important. He delineates the full armor of God. When we put on that full armor of God, we can stand. And after we have done everything, we can stand. But if we do not, we will fall over and over again. So put on the full armor of God. And many people are unaware of how to be involved in spiritual warfare, let me say, in a winning way. And that's why I wrote the book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, and God bless.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. By the way, that book, available, you can find it on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And you can talk to one of our resource consultants as well, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. A lot of you still hanging on. I'm sorry I won't be able to get to your calls today. Hopefully I'll be able to get to your calls next week. Give me a call next week, 888-ASK-HANK, the number to dial, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, a reminder that, speaking of homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity by Joe Dallas is available for those who support the ministry all this month. We are actually on schedule to meet all of our expenses this month. However, we have had some very, very light months during the summer, so we have a deficit to overcome. If some of you have some of the Lord's resources that you can invest in this ministry, would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Thank you so much for tuning into the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast not just on the radio, but you can get the equip.org app. It's CRI's Equip app. By going to equip.org/app, you can listen to live broadcast, archive broadcast, read hundreds of articles, and much, much more. Bottom line, thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back next week.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss.
The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.